I didn't know what it was going to be. I knew it was going to be something. I knew I was going to figure it out. It was funny. I remember this one conversation I had with my mom where I was like, I just have this vision of this, like, almost like this empire. And she was like, so you want to build, you think that there's going to be a company just kind of based loosely on your personality? And I was like, yes. And she was like,
mom,
what are you
down.
Talking
oh my
about?
God, I love that.
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast, a lifestyle podcast hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek.
Tune in for a new episode every Tuesday to hear our honest conversations about topics like wellness, entrepreneurship, spirituality, and self-development with guests who are really smart, really inspirational,
and really fucking funny. It's real, it's raw, and it's unfiltered.
Inspired by our transition from our 20s to our 30s, we realized it's so much more than that. Our mission is to provide you with the tools, guidance, and motivation to help you navigate any transitions in your life and propel your personal growth.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 podcast.
Here we go.
Welcome back to the Almost 30 podcast, a lifestyle podcast.
It's a lifestyle podcast. That's my radio voice. Smooth like butter.
I love a good radio voice.
I do love a good radio voice. I'm trying to bring the energy. It's important. So important.
It's funny to listen to just like podcast. Podcast across the ball. It's really funny. And like seeing the varying levels of energy, of tone, of everything, and not one is not better than the other. It's just interesting how it kind of like reaches me in a different way.
100%. 100%. There's one, you know, Jenna Kutcher, Gold Digger. She has great energy. She fucking kills the energy.
Truly.
Like, thanks for tuning into the Gold Digger podcast. Like, it's just like so bright.
She's just on and bright.
She's on and bright. Like, I mean, it's...
You gotta smile when you say it.
Yeah, I know. She's gotta smile. I wonder if she writes her stuff down because it's like, it's so crisp. I'm like...
Oh, for sure. People do that, we don't.
Is it just us? Here we are. Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. So as always, the group is popping off, but... we had a listener in the group bring up something that resonated with us. No matter how good things are, right? Especially no matter how good things look on the Instagram or, you know, you see us or hear us on the podcast. We always have these waves of anxiety, you know, related to anything and everything, whether it's business, relationships, health, spirituality, doesn't matter. Doesn't just discriminate.
When was the last time you had anxiety?
The last time I had anxiety was 2 days ago because I didn't have the energy to like flow in my day. And I was literally like picking myself up to like do the stupidest stuff, like put laundry in, just things I needed to do. And I wasn't doing it. I was real upset with myself because I was like, what are you doing? And then I was worried about how it was going to translate to my work like in a few hours, you know, like I was just like, it's like a little spiral.
Totally.
But it just comes in waves. Recording my solo episode, I had like anxiety about whether I was going to be delivering it in a way that people would resonate with.
Oh, I mean, 100%. I like did that and I was like, oh.
But then I was like, no.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't believe I went so long. I was like, damn, I was like talking.
Yeah. I mean, it's so good. Like when you're in the flow and I'm so sensitive to when I am really feeling it and when I'm not. And when I'm not, I just like don't even want to force anything.
Yeah. That's what is hard about doing, you know, with the podcast. It's like we're recording a lot.
Mm-hmm. And there comes a point where you hit a wall and you're like, wow, I'm a little blank and I don't even want to serve up something half-assed.
Yeah.
So it's usually we just stop. When was the last time you had
anxiety? So I'm trying to think, like, probably, I don't know. Cause mine's not moments. It's periods.
Mm.
So it's not, I don't really get like a morning of anxiety. It's like a period of time in my life where I have consistent anxiety. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can't really, it's probably a time when I was working 100%, you know, when we've had a lot going on and I had my full-time job. So definitely related to that. But I'm so like in the future, it's hard for me to think about anything in the past, to be honest.
Yeah. So we had a listener in the group, and she was expressing how anxiety, how it in the past for her, it has messed with following her intuition and hearing her soul's voice, and that she's really worked on it and it's become something that's improved. And, but that really kind of rang true. Like, it is a complete energy block when that anxiety, in order to listen to your voice, because the voice of your soul would, at least when I'm listening to it, does calm my anxiety. So what are ways in which like you've been able to kind of like get out of that headspace?
Yeah. So she said that the anxiety hinders her from listening to her soul's voice. I just had to repeat that to mm-hmm. understand. So it's funny because I think that the anxiety is your soul's voice.
Mm.
So for you, as an example, you're moving slow. Your anxiety is saying slow down and stop.
Mm.
But your ego is saying keep going and go. Mm. So I think actually the opposite. I think that your soul is trying to tell you something with your anxiety most of the time. There's obviously anxieties with other things, you know, related to maybe like feeling anxious about speaking in front of a group or something like that. But oftentimes it's like, I found situations where my anxiety is like related to something I'm not doing or I'm not tending to or I'm not listening to. You know, you're in a relationship that you know isn't right and it's giving you anxiety and you're talking to all your friends about it. You're like, okay, so we, you know, we haven't slept together for a while. And, you know, is that normal? Like, what do you think? Is that normal? Or, you know, so he's good in this, but he's not good in this. Is that, what do you guys think? Like, is that anxiety is like, you know that you shouldn't be with that person, but you're staying with that person. Or like with a job, it's like, my job gives me anxiety. Sunday scaries. You're going to a job on Monday that you fucking hate and it's giving you anxiety because you know that it's something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I think
it's like a byproduct of the being out of alignment, you know, like, but yeah, I know what you're saying where it's like the soul, the ego. And when those are kind of one is overpowering, then it's just gonna, the byproduct is that.
Yep. It's that conflict. It's that inner conflict where there's like two dialogues going on. For me, my most anxiety time was when I was in Chicago and I was living a life, or I wasn't living a life, when I was living in Chicago working in this corporate job and I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't meditating. I wasn't, you know, being conscious. I wasn't being aware. I had, you know, I just wasn't doing all these things and I had just crippling anxiety. And it wasn't until I started to live a life more aligned, kind of going outside of what my friends were doing, go outside of what normal people were doing in Chicago at that time and start to like really explore who I was and get more connected to who I was and go for it, is when I kind of was like able to help with my anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And I find too, I'm anxious when I feel like I have to do things on my own. So really putting into perspective what it's going to take to get that thing done or fulfill whatever I'm wanting and to take the pressure off of myself helps to kind of just quell the anxiety. Because I mean, I like asking for help. I'm not averse to like asking for help, but there's a sense of what that person's going to think about my ability to do it. That gives me a little bit of anxiety. So yeah, just kind of releasing the pressure off of myself helps.
So hard with anxiety too, because it's like you could talk to friends about it, but I found it's hard to verbalize how it feels. And there's not really the only, you know, the answer. So there's no answer that your friends are going to give. And it's kind of like, it's also physical. So the physicality with anxiety is really difficult. With depression too, there's a physicality to it, but the physicality is hard to get to ease that having conversations. Mm-hmm. I think you can, definitely, but I always found that it's like you have to do your own self-soothing of hand over the heart, hand over the belly, breathing, of trusting, of kind of like preventing it. So preventing it by meditation, preventing it by no caffeine or less caffeine, preventing it by sleeping, preventing it by making time for self-care and like doing things that you love so that you can work against or like try and like not have anxiety, you know, come on. You know, there could be times too. I have one of my best friends, Jen, she gets really bad anxiety flying. You know, she has, that's her thing. And medication helps. Mm-hmm. So if medication helps you and there are situations where you are feeling anxious on a reoccurring basis and it's debilitating, mm-hmm. you know, that's a great option to explore if it makes sense too.
Yeah. And also just because my anxiety comes up in moments, whether it's a morning or mm-hmm. just a day, I oftentimes like get the thoughts out of my head by just speaking them out loud and just like talking to myself. And you've been doing that too, where it's just like, what is going on? What's going on in your head? What is actually real? What is not? To almost just like shake up the energy too. Cause like I literally, there are sometimes when I hear yelling in my head, I'm like, who's that yelling? Like, why are these thoughts yelling when it could just be like spoken clearly? So talking to yourself helps. And also just like surrendering. So I have like a conscious like surrendering where I'll just mm-hmm. be like, okay.
Love it.
I'm anxious.
I love
you know, because oftentimes I feel like my anxiety is attracting more chaos that will bring me more anxiety. So you know, if I'm feeling anxious, then I go out to my car and my car key's not working and then I can't open my car and then I'm going to be late for this. And I literally am convinced that my inner chaos has attracted this new chaos. So I think there is a moment of just grace and surrendering to whatever's going on. Just be like, okay, I hear you. Mm-hmm. And like, let's move at a pace where it's manageable and it'll pass, I guess. You know, we talk about that a lot where it's just, you know, the fleeting, the mm-hmm. impermanence of what you're feeling. But yeah, man, anxiety is really hard.
Also too, anxiety comes because of attachment. So mm-hmm. you are attached to something, you know, whether it's an attachment to a person or a way of living or an idea. Most of the time it's ideas or fears. So for me, my anxiety was around like my life path. If I was ever going to like fulfill my soul's destiny in this life. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. That's where the majority of my life's anxiety has come. And it's like an attachment to believing that what I'm doing right now or what I was doing then or me just existing is not enough. Mm-hmm. So I am not enough just existing in the person that I am as a person, you know, an embodiment of God, and that I have to be something to fulfill my soul's purpose. There is an attachment there. So there could be an attachment to death. You're afraid of death. You're afraid of what mm-hmm. happens after death. You're attached to an idea of a relationship or something like that. So oftentimes yeah. it's like understanding and identifying the attachment there that you're really, really working in your fear of losing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
So we'll continue the conversation yeah. in the group, but I thought that was really great.
I loved that question. Yeah, I appreciate that question. And me the too. Comments have been so, so sweet and amazing. So thank you so much for that.
Today on the podcast, Aleeks.
Aleeks.
What's up, homie?
Oh, she has been such a little angel to us.
Oh, dude. She walks the walk and talks the talk.
Truly. I'm so energized by people who do what they say they're going to do. And more. And she's been a mentor to us in this business. So thank you, Aleeks. Yeah. Aleeks is the founder of Bev, the rosé made by Chicks. It is in a can. It is delicious. But she, the umbrella company is Aleeks, get it?
She was Hinge's most eligible. She's been on many lists. She's super smart. She's a badass female founder. So she's created Bev into more than just a beverage company. It's a brand. It's all about female empowerment. Chicks, or beverages made by Chicks, mm-hmm. made by Chicks is like their little logo. They've been to a bunch of our events as a great support. We've had her speak on a female founder panel, which was awesome. And this is fun. It's so fun. She's such a great interview.
So fun.
Man.
Yeah. Her story is yes. pretty wild. And, you know, she stands as someone that we look to. She's in rooms with male VCs pitching fucking canned rosé.
It's crazy.
And she kills it.
Kills. So when we were at her house, we were over at her office, which is an expander for mm-hmm. us. Her beautiful office with her dope interns and employees. That's so rad.
And her cat, Harold.
Cat Harold. She had her little text, you know, the text fly up. This is mm-hmm. her. So her texts were flying up, and the one was like, it was from a dude, and I won't say much about it, but it was basically about an investment. Like, there's like, this person opened up seed funding for X million dollars. And I was like, the fact that she's having that fucking conversation with some dude that's also a founder is like insane. That some mm-hmm. dude was like, yo, I got to tell Leeks about this thing. Like, I was like, you're such a baller.
She's such a baller.
Such a baller.
Yeah. So grab your Bev, drinkbev.com.
Oh, yes.
By
almost
the way.
30 is the code.
Almost 30 is the code. Enjoy this interview. I think that she will serve as an expander for a lot of you who are starting a business who don't really know what they want to do, but just kind of like take the leap, do some crazy shit. We love you. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Branch Basics. This is a multi-purpose concentrate that makes cleaning simple, affordable, and sustainable. It is safe for you, your body, your health, your friends that come into your space, your family. This concentrate has completely changed the way I clean my home, and I love it so much. I didn't realize before talking to Allison Evans on our podcast that the products that I was using that I thought were clean were not actually fully clean products. They still had chemicals in them, even though they were quote unquote green. So I was really interested to dig into my cabinet and see what I was using and how it might be affecting my health, my skin, my hormones, etc. So it's really simple. In a starter kit, you get a bunch of bottles and you pick a bottle, whether it's a small little spray, big spray bottle, a soap dispenser, and you fill it with water to the line on the label that says water. And then you fill with concentrate to the soap line on the label. Really easy. You just mix it up and it's ready to go. Swear it works. It's so, so good and effective. I love the oxygen boost for my laundry. So there's a starter kit plus oxygen boost. I got that one. Really, really good. And it's just great. So you can do your laundry, you can wash your hands and your body. All of this is safe for you to touch and to use in your home, on your clothes. It's something that you can trust. It's human safe, plant and mineral based, free of harmful preservatives, biodegradable, not tested on animals, and non-GMO. The concentrate is super powerful. So they want these products to get the job done, obviously. So it removes stains, dirt, grease, and grime, whether it's red wine or a baked in lasagna dish. It covers it. Trust me, I've tried it. And there's no fragrance. So you're not dealing with like, oh wait, where does this smell come from? How are you making this synthetic smell? No fragrance. A lot of people have sensitivities to fragrances and harsh chemicals. So this takes care of that. So it's great for people with asthma, allergies, chemical sensitivity, all of the things. So we're really excited to share Branch Basics with you. The power of pure can be in your hands, in your home. If you use our code ALMOST30NATION for 15% off a starter kit. I would recommend the starter kit plus oxygen boost. Great for laundry. But there's two starter kit options. So check that out at branchbasics.com. B-R-A-N-C-H basics.com. Use the code ALMOST30NATION for 15% off a starter kit. This episode is also brought to you by Organifi. Krista and I are still on tour, meeting all of you, having a blast, but we are committed to staying really healthy on the road, keeping our energy up, focus sharp, and we have done so with Organifi. So Organifi is a superfood supplement line that makes quality, trusted nutrition convenient and accessible. So their most popular product, which is our favorite, the green juice, solves the problem of juicing greens on the go. So we find that when we're on the road, we go to juice shops and there's a ton of sugar in these green juices. What is the deal?
So we've solved this problem with Organifi. It's so, so easy. They also have a red juice, which is a superfood powder packed with antioxidants and immune boosting herbs, which I love to also do on the road because sometimes when I'm on the plane, my immune system is a little shoddy. This keeps me super, super healthy. Again, you just add a scoop to water, or you can even add it to almond milk, and you'll get your daily boost of superfoods and antioxidants. It's really, really amazing. We love it. So to try Organifi, you can go to Organifi.com, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I.com, and use our code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first order. So that's Organifi.com, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I.com, and use our code ALMOST30, A-L-M-O-S-T-30, for 20% off.
Hey everyone, Bev aims to inspire the world.
Obviously.
I love Haley. This is so long.
Literally, I mean, what did she even write me?
Our podcast is you reading your mission statement.
I know. What did she even write me? She's like, oh, also can't wait to hear you.
Aw.
So cute.
What a doll.
Give the gift of your true self. Experience the moment and let your soul shine through.
She said that.
That's like our mission statement.
No way.
Have I not read this to you?
Read it. This? Okay. This is the leaks peep out of drink this.
Yeah,
man, don't worry. So in love. You got that foam background.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. Oh, you mean the love one, not the Bev one?
Both.
The boyfriend
I
one.
I cannot wait to have a boyfriend as my background, guys.
I mean, dude, you guys are
he's annoyingly wonderful. Yesterday, oh my gosh. Yesterday night I was in Santa Barbara and I was like, I really just want to go buy myself some steak, but I feel like that's fiscally irresponsible because this place that I'm going and looking at the steak is like $50. Mm-hmm. And then I looked down at my phone and he's Venmo'd me $50 because he isn't here to take me on a date.
That is so cute.
It was gross.
Oh my God.
That is so, so sweet.
I know.
Did you cash that shit in?
Yeah, basically it was like,
I'd be like, thank you.
Yeah, literally.
And then transfer. I kept him, got you
yeah, exactly.
Transfer initiated.
Yeah. Okay, wait, I'm going to read this to you.
I can't believe you guys met at Summit. Okay, read your mission statement. Well,
we met in the airport.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like on our way there.
Which is, he doesn't seem like a guy that would like hit on a girl at the airport.
He definitely didn't. He was kind of annoyed by me at first because I was annoying because we ended up both missing our transportation and then we had to share an Uber to Summit. So that's how we met. And then I was taking conference calls in the Uber. So he was like, who is this annoying bitch?
Oh yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Girl.
So you were taking conference calls. Were they like related to the biz?
Yeah. They were like legal calls. It was just so terrible. And he was like, who does this chick think she is?
And then you got there and you were like, oh, hello.
And I was like, here's a can of rosé. Would you like one from my suitcase? He was like, what is happening?
Oh my God.
Cute.
And yeah. Was it just magnetic after?
Yeah. So I would say for the first, like, I don't know, half a day, he was still just trying to figure out who the heck I was and what, like, because I can be such a personality and he's a little more on the reserve side.
What is it called? What does John Wineland call it? It's like breaking the circuits or something.
Yeah. So if
breaking barriers.
If you kind of come in hot and like he's not ready to hold space for that, I guess.
Or receive your energy.
So
for someone like you and for someone like me, if you meet a sweet guy that's like that, you know what I mean? It's a lot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I come in hot.
Come
for
in
sure.
Hot, exactly. Yeah. I come in hot. Lindsay comes in hot.
Which, well, I think that's part of the reason that I'm such an advocate. So I used to go on like destination first dates and shit, which is just
wait,
like,
wait, tell me more.
Okay, so this is actually really funny. When I met my boyfriend, the following week, I'd already had a destination first date with another guy scheduled. So I was going to Hawaii the following weekend with a guy I'd never met before.
What? Who buys?
True story. They do. Come on.
So is this ridiculous?
No, I know. Right? Good question. Good question.
These are my Louboutins. They're from my destination.
Dude, that's a real thing that goes down in Silicon Valley. Oh, by the way,
oh, honey,
that's
God.
Like so.
There
real.
There was girls at Summit that were like that.
Yeah,
that it were, was like. Trolls.
Yeah.
Like trolls.
Yeah. Like. It was, it's like a weird, it's a weird thing. It's super real up there. But anyway, but no, that was not me. We were just set up by like an investor that had invested in both of our companies.
Really?
And then, but he lived in San Francisco and I lived down here. And so he was like, oh, I'm going to Hawaii. Like, do you want to just come and go on a date there? And I was like, sure. So I'd had it set up the weekend that I met my boyfriend. And so we kind of thought that nothing was going to happen because I was like off to, you know, Hawaii with some hot guy. Actually, this is a hilarious story. And so I meet my boyfriend. We like fall madly in love throughout the course of the weekend, like stupidly. Like I knew that I was going to marry him within a week, probably. And I get to, so I still go on this date to Hawaii because I was like,
because
I get there and I realize very quickly that this is not like a date weekend. This is a huge bro weekend that this guy has been planning. And wait, it gets like so much worse.
And they're going to run train on you or something?
I'm staying in this apartment that looks
so, it's like a gangbang.
So run down. Well, it was like guys and girls, but mostly dudes. I'm staying in this apartment that looks so run down. Like, honestly, like I've been to third world countries and this apartment was like up there. It was like gnarly. Like, I don't even know that if there was running water and like lights. I was very confused. I was like, we're in Honolulu. Like, why is this happening to me? And then, yeah. And there were 3 bedrooms and like 11 people on this weekend. What? And then I kid you not, the next day he's like, okay, we're going to like, he's like, there's some sort of charity race we have to do. I thought it was like a 5K or something. Like, oh, that over the course of the weekend, we're going to do this race. And I get woken up and it's like, okay, it's time to go. It was do you know what a Ragnar is?
I've heard of it. No.
A Ragnar is like a 24 to 36 hour multiple 100-mile relay race throughout the night. So I ended up having to run, I'm not joking, 18 miles over this weekend, overnight, sleeping in a car.
Why didn't you just say no?
Oh, I'm like, no, I'm gonna
I just
go
didn't
to the
know
beach.
I'd been signed up for this Ragnar. So I literally ran like 8 miles, 8 of the miles at 2 in the morning, like in Hawaii. It was so weird. Anyway, but meanwhile, the whole point is, I'm texting my boyfriend who I'd met the week before, and he was just like, first of all, how does one get themselves into the situation? I was like, I don't know.
I mean, for real.
I don't know. Like, me.
Like, I love that you did it though. Classic, it's probably a test from the guy. I've been hearing a lot lately about these little tests that guys do. So it's probably like a test, like, oh, is she down? Is she gonna like go with the flow?
Well, you know, I was just like, don't mess with the marathon runner, okay? You don't know that I'm a marathon runner.
That's so true.
You had no idea, but
also like such a Silicon Valley thing. It's like no actual problem. So they like create these like little situations, these little microcosm problem situations. We're like, we've got to get up at 2 and run 8 miles.
Yeah, it was so.
Like it's like makeup.
It was so bizarre. It was honestly, it was insane.
So then after.
If he's listening, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus here, but also how could you do such a thing?
So after we like deuces.
Yeah. So then actually a guy I'd met from Summit the weekend before, who's just like a friend of mine now, people at Summit like knew that this was happening because I'd mentioned it. And he was like, if you end up in a shitty situation, like text me and I'll introduce you to my friend who owns a hotel there. So I was like, sweet. But unfortunately the first night it was President's Day weekend. And so everything was booked, like literally every hotel. So so that was horrible. And then the next day I was just like, okay, peace, bye. Like, talk to you later.
Whoa.
They put me in like a nice room and I slept.
Good one.
It was. So anyway.
Wow. And now you're just madly in love.
Lindsay, you got to get on that.
Now I'm madly in love.
Well, I haven't done like destination first dates, but I've experienced like the extreme first date with like someone who can.
I feel like it can go one of two ways.
Dude on the plane. They went skydiving or something. Chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Vanilla milkshake.
Yeah. I don't know if I shared this on the pod, that I did. My friend worked for a millionaire matchmaker or business or whatever. And she's like, please, like, can you please go on dates? Like, I get a commission. Like, if I bring in girls. And I was like, sure. Like, it's not like my impetus to be like, yeah, for sure. Like, because I know that they're probably a little weird. I don't know.
Dude, this happened to me.
Really?
When I was living in San Francisco. Dude. I have every date story in the book. It's like hilarious.
Did you do it?
I was hunted by one of those places. And eventually I was like, sure, whatever. I'll go on like one date with one person. And this dude shows up having mined all of the data from the dating apps because he was like a tech like nerd person.
Hacked it?
What?
He hacked it?
Yes.
What?
No joke. And had like all of the data and like ranked everyone and like went to this I'm dead serious. I went to this like matchmaking thing and was like, I want to talk to like these people. And it was like very bizarre. The whole thing
and
was
you were
very
one
bizarre.
Of them.
Yeah, I don't, I have no idea why.
What was the date like?
It was very weird. Well, okay. If I'm going to be totally, this is an unfiltered podcast.
Yes. It's part of our intro.
If I'm going to be totally honest, then I ended up getting invited by that dude to Burning Man.
Sexy.
So like, then well, I was like, okay, well, whatever. I can't really afford to go to Burning Man this year, so I guess I'll go. But I required that I had like my own room and all of this stuff.
Do you send them like a, negotiation with everything you do? Like,
This makes it sound way worse than it is.
Okay.
I promise. He was like, I really need a date for Burning Man. I was like, well, I'm not going with you under the pretense of sleeping with you. Like, you have to give me my own room. Mm-hmm. But then like, sure, I'll go. Like,
same rooms though.
Well, they had an RV. And so I was like, I need my own bed. Like, I need my own bunk. I need to be on my own like side of things and stuff like that. And like never even hooked up with this dude.
Was it worth
Ever
it?
Did. Never did.
Wow.
You don't have to lie to us.
Well, then, no, I'm not lying to you because then I like ran away with a cute DJ at Burning Man and didn't even sleep in the RV, which was terrible.
That's the thing. Poor guys.
Just ruthless.
Was Burning Man cool?
I've been a whole bunch of times. I love it.
Oh, you do?
I'm a huge fan. Yeah, I've never been. Personally. But like, it's really tough to go without an RV, I will say.
Yeah.
It's really dusty and really hot during the day.
No camping. Yeah. Okay, I want to finish our conversation. Or should we introduce first?
Well, by the way, really quickly, the point about coming in hot, that's all to say those whirlwind romances, they're either like a complete nightmare because they're a whirlwind and they go out in flames just as fast as they came in. Or I think it gives people who are like nicer and quieter and like maybe more are the yin to our yang a little bit more time to actually get to know you and not be freaked out. I think that's what happened with Jeff.
And especially with Jeff, it's like, cause you guys are long distance.
Yeah.
Jess and I were long distance and I remember it was really helpful for us because I ain't coming so hot to like let it be more of like a slow burn rather than just like.
Yeah. Yeah. We're big personalities, right? Yeah. And you got to be able to like handle strap it. On. Mm-hmm. And like.
Or just let them strap it on.
Just strap on in, boys.
Would you please introduce yourself to everyone listening?
Sure. My name is Alix Peabody. Mm-hmm. And
out there.
What?
I thought you had questions. I was like, oh.
No. And what am I? I'm the founder of Bev, which is, well, it's technically called, did you know it's technically called the Elixir Company?
That's the holding company.
But our brand is Bev. We make a canned rosé, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah. Tell us more. Yeah. Like how, we'd love the origin story you've told us and I literally never
gets
old.
Yes, I love your story.
The whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Where do you even want me to start?
The far.
As the what?
Back.
As far back.
The far.
This
far.
Is when we go
to
the far.
Go really far.
So interviewing for my job.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to do it as like non-rehearsed as possible because I say a lot. I'll give you like the real reels. Yeah, so. Okay. I guess it all started when I was in college, which meant like for real, because I went to a super frat dominated school. Dartmouth is, you know, it's just all frat life and every party, everything. It's all male dominated.
Where is
male
it located?
Owned.
Where's Dartmouth?
Middle of nowhere,
New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very cold. Lots of beer. And there was just like a lot when you were there that, you know, it's like you're always invited, but you're never welcome. Like it's very not welcome, but like it's like
I felt that at BC a little bit.
You're invited, but it's not your home. It's not your place. And that was like, and it was made very clear just by like the frat infrastructure, I think. If that makes sense. And I wasn't in a sorority, but even so, part of the reason I wasn't was because sororities are not allowed to have parties like nationwide. And I just thought that was totally awful. But anyway, all to say that the whole concept of social scenes in general being so male dominated kind of always bothered me a little bit. And I think in a lot of those situations, you end up in situations that aren't great, right? And you end up with a lot of sort of this day rape culture and stuff like that. So of which, you know, I've experienced my fair share. I'm sure most women you talk to have, which is sad, but true. So anyway, so that was kind of the, I guess, like genesis of me wanting to do something like womanly, but fun, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
No, you are.
Mm-hmm. So Yeah, that was kind of the very early days. And then when I was, and I knew I wanted to build something, I had no idea what. I was like, one day I will build something. I don't know why or what or whatever. I worked in finance after that. I was at Bridgewater, the hedge fund, which we can talk about more later, which was a great experience. And like in a lot of ways, it was really intense, but it was cool. And eventually moved out to Silicon Valley. And when I was living there,
With Bridgewater?
No, I moved to, and I took a job as an executive headhunter. And while I was in, basically I thought I would get paid to meet people and like that would be,
you'd be so good at that.
My job. Yeah. And so I was like, all right, I'll just get paid to meet people. I'll know everybody. And then eventually I will be able to build whatever I want to build. So anyway, within 3 months of getting there, this is the part you know and have heard of, I got really sick. And I'd kind of had like stomach issues for a long time, or I thought they were stomach issues, but it turns out they weren't. And so I was walking to work one day and I just like basically keel over on the sidewalk. And my friend, I remember calling my friend, Sarah, and I was like, she's in med school. I was like, I don't know. Every time I go to the doctor, they just tell me the same thing. I have like irritable bowel syndrome or something. And they tell me to go home and then it costs me tons of money and I'm sick of it. She was like, you have to go. And I go and they realize that my right ovary is torsed, which is a real thing that happens.
What does that mean?
So it means basically, like, you know how dudes get like testicular torsion?
Yeah.
You can get ovarian torsion. Like your ovary flips over on itself.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so mine flipped over 360 degrees wow. three times.
So it's like twisted.
Yeah. So it's really hard to see in a scan from what I understand, because it's the difference between like in a scan, a straw and a rope, you know, and if it's a rope, there's no blood flow. And so my ovary, like your ovary is like the size of like a walnut. Mine was swollen to like a grapefruit. Like it was massive. Whoa. And really, and dying basically. It was a nightmare. So all to say, ended up having like six surgeries over the course of like 18 months. Like wow. I've always wanted kids. And yeah, and the doctors were just trying to save it as best as they could. But I ended up in this situation where I had like a very short amount of time to freeze eggs and like no money to do so. And my parents, of course, like chipped in and stuff like that. But I mean, I was like inundated with medical bills at this point. It was, and I was like 24. So I'd like had no money essentially. Yeah. So yeah, and you know, and what I'd saved from Bridgewater, I'd like traveled and moved across the country with, which is like, you know, what a 23, 24-year-old does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And like, wow, $6,000.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I'm loaded.
Yeah, I can buy a house.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. My little brother, he's 17, or no, he just turned 18. He tells me, he's like, I'm a thousandaire. I'm like
same.
I'm like totes. Literally. Yeah. Same sauce. At least today I am. Yeah. Don't ask me on the 14th, like right before payroll.
I'm 100.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
honestly.
But anyway, yeah. And so I ended up throwing these parties that were like these little mini festivals in the Bay Area and just charging people tickets. And I worked with like some of the liquor stores. And we're like, I'll send all these people, you know, to your store, like give them a discount and a cut of sales and whatever, all of this just scrappy stuff. And
did you make a cut of sales?
Yeah. Well, I did not in the first couple ones, cause I didn't know to do that, like whatever, yeah. And then covered, you know, the parties and some extra money on top of that. And then, yeah, I was able to save some money, freeze eggs, pay off a lot of those bills, which was cool. And they became like fun festivals. So there are two things. Like I kind of say in retrospect, it's easy to say, oh, this is where I got the idea. Like, okay, like, but I don't know. For me, things never really happened that way. There was always, it's almost like a volcano. It's like rumbling and then one day it just like explodes and you're like, oh, this is what that was all for. You know what I mean? But yeah, at the time, one of the things I really did like was I just liked that sort of like festival vibe. And I liked that it was a really female owned space. Like everyone has more fun, not to be, you know, weird about it. But I've even talked to guy friends and they're like, if we're at a girl's party, you have no problem like calling out bad behavior you see from other dudes.
I love that.
Or like you have no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot. I don't know. Everyone has more fun.
It's like a thoughtful experience.
Yeah, you know, it's a thoughtful
things are thought of, whether it's like, you know, having the right food, the right drink, you know, the right music, the whatever. Like, girls are just
so
really
right.
perceptive.
Candles.
Okay, so I have actually, I want to ask you guys this and ask everyone who listens to you, to just if they comment or whatever.
Yeah.
We sometime in the next couple of years want to open the Bev Bar, like the first like truly bar designed with women in mind. Like, what does that look like to you?
Oh my God. Guys, you hear that on Facebook Live. So what is a bar designed
by women,
for
with women,
women
in mind? Yeah.
Look like.
I was like a rosé apple store.
Oh my God.
Like a showroom, and then like the lighting.
It just has to be tons of Instagrammable moments.
Yeah, for sure.
But
the
also,
lighting has to be good.
Yeah.
And like from a good direction.
Pink and palms.
Oh yeah.
You know, some
the bathroom situation.
Oh. Lots of stalls. I've heard this over
like
and over again. Like a hundred stalls.
The door from the top to the bottom.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Private, full doors.
Full doors. None of this.
Let
like,
me do my thing.
And like just like things available in the bathroom, like obviously tampons, maybe like vag
but
wipes.
No one you have to tip for it.
No one you got to tip
no
for
one you
it.
Tip
yeah,
for
no,
it.
That's
no offense.
Well, because yeah, we don't just, ever like, we don't carry like dollars.
Yeah,
anymore,
unfortunately.
You know what I mean?
No. Mm-mm. Yeah, the other thing that I've heard a lot, which I never even thought of, and someone said it to me, and I was like, oh my God, why isn't this at every bar? Accessible water everywhere. Like fountains.
Phone chargers.
With like,
it's a bitch to ask the bartender
it's
for
it. Such a bitch to ask the bartender, and you want to be holding something in your hand and you don't necessarily, you know, want to freaking muscle your way to the bartender, or you feel guilty muscling your way all the way up there and then not buying something.
That's a good one.
And
bubbly
I was like,
water too.
Yeah. I mean, I've also heard just like scents. Good scents.
Tons of
scents. Everywhere.
Tons of like snacky food.
Yeah.
That you can get.
Like healthy, but filling.
Yeah.
Because that bar is like, if they have like nuts or the trail mixes, you're like just
gross.
Eating shit. And then you feel like shit.
And like live music, I think is so, it's just nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know. From time to time, at least.
I love a live music.
Like some dancing availabilities. Yeah. I like the idea of like different rooms with kind of different vibes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But anyway.
Anyways, we're here for that.
Right.
So that's a thing to think about.
We interrupt this episode to bring you a word from our sponsor, Poopery. Join the potty, Almost 30 Nation. If you're not spritzing the bowl before you go, you have not lived before. I need you, we need you to be liberated and be able to poo wherever you are and not feel like you have to hold it or ashamed of it or worry. Poopery is helping people everywhere to poop whenever they want and to leave where they pooped smelling fresher than they first found it. So this is how it works. This blend of essential oils, beautiful essential oils, is spritzed into the toilet bowl before you go. And then it creates a film on the surface of the water. So the protective barrier traps the odor under the surface so that when you go, it just slips right in and the smell is trapped underneath. It smells beautiful. I'm not joking. This really, really works. I had a guy friend come over the other day and he's like, what is this spray? I hadn't tried it. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to let you poop in my place. Tried it. Was astonished. I keep one in my purse. I keep one in my bathroom. I bring it everywhere I go, truly, because you just never, ever know. They also have a shoe-pourri, which I'm loving because my shoes stink from working out. And it's great. You just spray your shoes, beautiful essential oils. I mean, it's a no-brainer. They also have the new assistant, which you can clip onto your toilet bowl. It's super discreet. And you can wave your hand and it automatically spritzes the surface of the toilet bowl. So check that out. Poopery.com. Poopery.com. Use our code ALMOST30 for 15% off your first order. If you haven't listened to our episode with founder of Poopery, Susie Batiz, stop what you're doing and listen to it now. She is an incredible human being and we are lucky to call her a friend. Poopery.com. Use our code ALMOST30 for 15% off. This episode is also brought to you by
Robinhood. So guys, I'm so excited about this partner. It makes me feel like a true adult. A few years ago, Justin was like, you have to check out this app. It's called Robinhood. And I was like, never usually says that. So I was interested. So I've actually been using Robinhood for a few years now. And Robinhood is an investing app. So it lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and crypto as well, commission free. So that's what's really special and important about them is that it's commission free, whereas brokerage firms could do $10 for every trade or various amounts, basically taking money from you when you want to be making money. So a few years ago when I got the app, I started to buy some random stocks that I just got pulled to or companies that I was interested in. And now I have my stocks and I'm playing the market on my Robinhood app. So I'm playing the market. I'm really rich. So it makes it really easy. And it really just, the app is so easy to use. There's a great user experience. So if anyone wants to get into investing and doesn't know where to start, this is a great place.
Yeah. And I don't know a lot about this space. So this app is perfect. It's super user friendly for those that are just starting out buying and trading stocks. And they let you view stock collections. So you can, there's like categories. So entertainment, social media, like for female CEOs, like, you know, it's really interesting how they do it and makes it very digestible and fun to do. So for our listeners, Robinhood is giving a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at almost30.robinhood.com. That's almost30.robinhood.com. We're just really excited to share this tool with you. So join the Secret Facebook group. Let us know what you're trading, what you're buying, and if you like it.
We're already talking about investing in the group. So this is going to be a perfect place. And this is basically the answer to finding a new way to learn by doing and to really start get our female finances in order.
Amen.
This episode is also brought to you by
Rove. So in the group, one of the most popular topics that we have is related to getting a clean, healthy home. The episodes that we've done about clean beauty, about non-toxic products have been game changers. So Lindsay and I knew that we needed to find a service that was really easy, that made sense for our girls, that delivered natural products to their house.
And I guess really like in the last only few years, I've really kind of become aware of the fact that a lot of the products I was using were not sustainable, not safe, and the companies weren't transparent about what was exactly in there. So if a product said green, it might not be completely green and it might have chemicals in it that could be hurting our bodies, our skin, affecting our hormones. So it's been really one of like my big things is like going through the products I'm using and making sure they are clean and sustainable, etc. So Grove believes a healthy, beautiful home should be accessible to everyone. That's why they've made it really easy to get products to you that can make you feel great about using them around your home and around your family. What did you love?
I love Miss Myers.
Yeah.
I love Miss Myers. It's a classic. And I got the one yesterday, actually, that was spearmint. So I really liked that it was spearmint. And then I had these like lotion that they sent. And they sent a nice candle, too. So you can get... Yeah. I didn't know that candles could actually be toxic as well. They filled with tons of fillers. So if you're burning those toxic things, you kind of need to be aware that your candles could be toxic too. So it was really nice that I could also get candles from Grove. Basically anything for the home to make sure that it's tested by people that know what they're doing, I go to the Grove.
And they had this glass cleaner. So I like have trouble cleaning my glasses. My dishwasher isn't the best. And they have like this solution. So a lot of what I'm seeing now is like these concentrated natural solutions that you mix with water. So a little bit goes a long way. So you're saving money there. And then I got this like brush, like a sponge that's in the shape of like a wine glass. So I got that one too. And you know what? Like the packaging was so thoughtful. I love thoughtful packaging.
Clean.
It's just, it's convenient. And so you're in control with your relationship with Grove. It's customizable, auto shipments delivered to your door. You can pause or cancel at any time. And it's just really nice because I always forget, like I need auto shipments. I'm sorry. Like I'm just going to forget to get it. But you can
can easily change or manage your account at any time. So with a 100% happiness guarantee, they have free shipping. It's so easy to discover these amazing and affordable natural home and personal care products with the confidence of supporting a safer environment for your family. So right now, our listeners can try Grove with a 2-month VIP membership and bonus gift by going to grove.co/almost30. That's grove.co/almost30, not grove.com. It's grove.co/almost30. And you can get your discount there.
Enjoy.
Get a happier, healthy home.
And the other thing I got addicted to more than anything was this idea of addressing serious issues in lighthearted and happy and approachable ways, right? And I was thinking, and you know, at that, I mean, I guess this was a couple years ago now, but you kind of see a lot of female brands these days come out and they're angry and undertone. You know, women have a lot of reasons to be pissed off. Like, I'm like, don't make me do that. But you know, like, there are two ways to approach any situation, right? Like, you can go through a shitty situation and you can use it as fuel to make things around you better, or you can kind of get mad about it. I mean, there's a place for that, of course. But to me, I got sort of stoked. It's like your podcast, right? Like you guys are dealing with like real issues and real life changes, but in a way that is easy to listen to and it's fun and you can laugh about it. And that's kind of always been my attitude too. So anyway, at that point I moved down to LA. Actually, because I thought I wanted to build like a media events platform at first, and maybe, you know, like a, you know, I don't know, like a Hello Sunshine, you know, whatever, something with like events involved or and then over time, I actually met some guys who were basically like, you are too smart to be in entertainment. Like, you should come build this sort of completely different thing with us that was like product centric. And I was just like, I have no interest in this. This makes no sense to me. Like, this has nothing to do with why I'm here. I was at film school in USC for comedy writing to try to like learn how to build content. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway, so sorry, this is all boring. But the point is, at that point, there was basically a moment where I was essentially like, what if you built a women's empire fueled by beverage sales in an industry where there's just like nothing for women, like nothing. We get like skinny girl margarita and white girl rosé, and like, that's it. Looked into a whole bunch of different things, realized that the alcohol industry is at the soul of fun, right? Like, there's so many, that's every bar, every party, whatever, there's booze. There's nothing out there for women in this industry that's like not about calorie consumption. And
that's true.
What's more fun than rosé? So at that point, I had no money, like $12 in my bank account, pulled my 401k from when I worked at a hedge fund, bought all this rosé, found our wine supplier on Hinge, of all things. Did you guys know that?
No. I feel like I heard it tell the story.
Real story. Super random. I'd been like, okay, so part of the reason, do you know like the Hinge most eligible list? This is so embarrassing.
Oh my God, no.
In Business Insider. It's like a thing they do. They put out every year, city by city.
Wow.
And they do like the 10 or no, I guess it's the 30. It's the 30 most eligible people city by city. So I'd been in it in San Francisco and then I was in it in LA. I don't know why. I have no idea. But that was actually how I ended up being, I think, on the list of that guy with all the data.
That's amazing.
Super random. Yeah. But they thrown together this happy hour in San Francisco. And I remember meeting this guy who was also like on this list, who I was friendly with, who worked in wine. And so like 2 years later, I called him and I was like, I'm trying to buy a lot of rosé. And he's like, okay, homegirl, like calm down. And I was like, no, really, I'm trying to buy like hundreds of gallons of rosé. And he was like, well, as it just so happens, like my roommate's owns one of the largest wine suppliers in the state of California. So I can just introduce you to him. He won't, you know, he might be willing to talk to you. And then I was like, I raised money. And he was like, okay, I'll talk to you. So yeah,
wow. How did you get that mentality? You're such a connector and you're such a people person. Like, and you use your relationships in a really like effective way.
Thanks.
Where do you get that?
So I went to 4 different high schools in 3 different countries.
Wow.
Have I told you this?
No.
So I was in, I went to boarding school in France when I was a freshman in high school.
Wow. Then
I came
back.
What?
Because you were bad?
No, everyone said, it was like, kidding. Actually, because I was super nerdy at the time. I was really, it was actually really funny. Wow. I applied to boarding school, but without my parents' permission by myself when I was 12.
Wait, what and then, do you like, mean?
You're like, get me out of here.
Literally. I like came home one day and I told my parents, I was like, I applied to French boarding school and I got in.
Oh my God,
and my mom was like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're 12. Like literally. Well, my mom's French. That's where my name comes from.
I know.
And I guess part of it was like, it really bothered me that I was French and didn't speak French.
God, I love
as
that.
A 12-year-old. It's like, okay, cool. Like calm down, Glen Coco. So anyway, so I was like, whatever. But then eventually I like convinced them to let me as like 13, 14, just move there by myself. For a year, it was like, it was supposed to only be, you know, I wasn't kicked out or anything. So after that, I went there, loved it, came home, then just totally had the bug and then applied to like school year abroad and lived in Italy for a year.
You were 13 or 14?
France, I was 13 or 14. Italy, I was 16. And then I graduated from Andover boarding school because it was like the only place that would take my credits. And give me a diploma at that point because they were like, what the fuck is this? Like, where have you been?
Yeah, they're like, who are you?
I like never took American history.
Good.
Yeah.
That's
bullshit.
It's a lie.
Super random.
It's totally bullshit.
Jeff works in politics and he gets very upset because I like don't understand how voting works.
Really?
Like, it's,
he's like, here.
He's
watch,
like, what?
What is it? School? It's like, I'm just a bill. I'm only a bill. It's like a cartoon that what? They do history.
Magic School Bus? No, that's science.
Honestly, you're asking the wrong person because clearly I know nothing.
This is my Google search. Cartoon history.
I'm like, what?
I'm just a bill.
Wait, House? Senate?
Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, Schoolhouse Rock.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So I think that's part of it because I was the new kid.
Yeah.
Every single year of like my high school life. And on top of it, I was often the new kid in a place where I couldn't even communicate with people when I got there. Right. So it just like requires a certain friendliness mm-hmm. and like able to connect with people that literally goes even beyond language. Right. Because
yes.
I couldn't speak. I had never taken a single Italian class in my life when I moved to Italy. I knew nothing. French, I could speak a little bit, but not really. So I just kind of got used to that, I guess. I don't know if that answers it, but
wow.
I think that I'm convinced that that's why. Because like, yeah, it's actually funny because I feel like my comfort zone is not being in a comfort zone. Like I would be very uncomfortable having the same job for like years and years, living in the same place. Like I get angsty. I've had like 9 addresses in the past 6 years.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
No.
Not, I wouldn't recommend it, but you get really good at moving.
Wow. It's fucking crazy.
So wait, where are we in the story?
Well, I wanted to, I guess, close the loop really fast on your health.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. I think it's, what do you want to know about it?
Yeah. Like, so you had the surgeries, you froze your eggs, correct?
Yeah. So I froze my eggs. And I think it's also just important that people know this is a thing that happens to women because it's less than 1% of all emergency ovarian surgeries, but it's oddly more common than you think. And I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, and which is really common in, it's like 1 in 10 women these days, which is insane because it's all like a hormonal issue. A lot of it they think can come from stress and stuff like that too. But yeah, so I froze my eggs and then actually my most recent surgery was in October because they thought that it had like twisted again. I actually ended up having both my ovaries on either side tied to my uterus. And then I was moving so much product. One of them, like the stitch came undone. So
Oh my God.
I was like,
I feel it.
Oh yeah.
Oh honey.
It was brutal. It was brutal. But it's a thing. It happens. Be careful. And the other thing that I think I learned from that whole experience was because it had been intermittently twisting for like years. And so every time I had a really bad pain in my stomach, I'd go to the doctor and they'd be like, you're crazy. Or like they wouldn't tell me I'm crazy, obviously, but they'd just be like, oh, you're fine. Like it's just, you know, whatever. It's your tummy hurts, like calm down. But it was really painful. And like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of doctors, especially for women, when they have like really bad pain, a lot of the time, like, you know your body, you know what I mean? And that was a really good lesson from that. But yeah, but now it's fine. I mean, now it's fine. From time to time, it can still act up. And especially since the stitches came undone and stuff like that, I have to be careful. And we'll see
How do you manage your babies PCOS symptoms?
Not well. Like me personally, I'm horrible at taking care of myself, especially when I'm stressed out. So yeah, I don't know. Not particularly well. I mean, I try to eat well. I exercise a lot.
What are the symptoms of it?
PCOS? It really varies. Yeah, you can have like facial hair and it's a lot harder to lose weight because you generally have insulin resistance. And so, and insulin is the hormone that turns, you know, sugars to fat and stuff and helps you digest your sugars. And so, and it produces testosterone. So if you have, I kind of like actually think maybe part of the reason that I can be more aggressive or whatever is like because of my PCOS. I don't know if that's scientifically accurate, but I have like more testosterone than your average chick, I guess, which is that's kind amazing. Of funny.
Could
amazing.
So, could be my PCOS so or my weird. Dick.
Yeah, it's one of the two. Or my hard balls. But anyway, it's like ridiculous. But yeah, so for me, it's just a lot of exercise and running and like, yeah, and just keeping not going too crazy with the food, generally speaking, but trying to eat like lower carbs, lower sugars, stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm lucky because it doesn't, like my symptoms aren't, my worst symptoms is that my symptoms aren't that bad. Like JK, I lost an ovary. But like for me, it's a lot of my ovaries are super cystic. I just have tons of cysts. So I just have to be really careful about listening to, you know, my body, I guess.
Okay. Wow.
That's a real thing. But yeah, that was that
loop. So we got the rosé from the distributor.
From the supplier.
From the supplier.
Not to be confused with the distributor.
No, but it is so true.
Because that's illegal.
Really?
Yeah, so distributor. So part of the reason that I picked rosé is because I found a legal loophole. Because distributor, the whole alcohol system in America is crazy. There's the three-tier liquor laws. So if you have, this is so super boring for people who aren't me, but basically there is required by law to be a middleman who's the distributor, and they can't be the same person as the producer, and they can't be a retailer at all, which is why if you think about it, like you can't buy Casamigos off the Casamigos website. You can't buy Budweiser from Budweiser. Oh, no. You have to buy it from a store.
Why?
It's like a prohibition thing. It was like grandfathered in because, you know, distributors and bootleggers got to be really powerful when they were doing all that stuff. And then when alcohol became legal again, you know, they just didn't want to relinquish any power. And so they kind of didn't have to. And so now by law, in order to get onto the shelves, you have to use a distributor. But, you know, they're making all their money off of the big brands, like the, you know, the Budweisers of the world and stuff like that. So as a small brand, that's part of the reason the industry is so hard is because they just crush you. They don't have to take you on. You're not really all that important to them. They don't really want to sell your product. They're not invested in it. It's not where they're making their money.
Wow.
So yeah, so I picked rosé to start off because in large part, obviously I like it, but even more than that, it was because I found a loophole that allowed us to sell online, which is that because it's wine and we're registered as a California winery, we can have like a wine club, like direct to consumer sales. So that's the only reason that we can sell it online is like that licensing loophole.
And you can ship to anywhere in the country?
44 different states.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah. But that's, And then super random.
So how did you grow the business? So you have this vision and then you have the product. How did you what did you do next to grow? Or to like really, I guess, formulate it into like what felt to you like a real
business? Is it a real business?
I know. Do you experience imposter syndrome?
Oh my God. Are you kidding? Every single day of every minute of every day. I don't even know why I'm here right now.
I feel it's so weird. Because I felt like that when we were at your office. It's like, oh my God, she is so far ahead. Mm-hmm. Like she's got it all together. Exactly. She has all these connections and stuff. Like
I don't feel that way at all. I feel like, what am I doing here? Why? What interesting thing do I have to say? Like nothing.
It's funny because you're so confident though too.
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say I'm confident. I would say that. Well, no, that's not true. I mean, I would say that. How would I even put it properly? I have faith that I will. I have faith in my brain. Nothing else really. But like, and I have faith in the people who work for me, of course. But at the forefront of it, like, I know that worst comes to worst, I'm going to figure something out. I'm going to be scrappy and I'm going to figure it out. And I don't know what it is. You know, like the same way the company ended up kind of coming into formation. I didn't know what it was going to be. I knew it was going to be something. I knew I was going to figure it out. It was funny. I remember this one conversation I had with my mom where I was like, I just have this vision of this, like, almost like this empire. And she was like, so you want to build, like, you think that there's going to be a company just kind of based loosely on your personality? And I was like, yes. And she was like, she was like, mom, what are you talking about?
I love that.
She was just like, what? And I was like, mom, this is what millennials do.
Like, yeah, for fucking real. But I love that.
Yeah. So to me, it's more about just like having, I wouldn't call it confidence so much as faith, like having faith.
Faith over fear.
Yeah. And just being like, and you know, and I say this all the time, but like putting yourself in a position and giving yourself the mentality where the only way out is through, right? And just being like, failure is just not an option. Like there might be pivots, there might be mistakes and learnings.
A bunch of those like posters on the wall.
I know, it's like
just
really
said,
annoying.
Like 100 of them.
I know, it's, it's like so awful.
Failure's not an option.
You face the like, fear.
4% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, it's also like, since it's really funny, my family, just like my siblings just like can't stand me right now. I'm sure of it too, because on top of it, like with Jeff, I'm like, no, you don't, just be yourself and like love will find you. They're like, literally, I hate you. I was like, I know, this is not.
Are they all single?
This makes no sense to me. Oh yeah. God. I mean, my siblings are younger than I am, like significantly. Okay. So
yeah, you're like, you can have it all.
Yeah.
Just look, kidding. Look at me.
Yeah, no,
literally.
But also not. I mean, there's so much to those jobs too that people don't see, right?
What jobs?
Like starting a business.
Oh yeah.
Like the stuff that people don't see is the stuff that slaughters your soul.
What do you think about that? When you think about this, starting a business, what people don't see?
Okay.
Like, well, what comes to mind?
Yeah. So, okay. So first of all, before we dive into that, when you're like, how did you actually grow your business? Mm-hmm. I just want to make one super quick thing. I haven't done it. My team has done it. Like 100%. They have done everything. They're like magical fairy unicorns and I couldn't do it without them. And so to me, and that's another thing too, like, it's funny because I'll have literal team members come to me and be like, you need to understand that this couldn't happen without you. And I'm like, I feel like I haven't done anything. Like, I feel like I'm running around.
What does that feel like? Like, is it like your ego's hurt, or is it like, thank God they're here? Or is it like, I wish I had more, like, it's all your idea. Like, we kind of experience that where like, there's people that are doing things like for us that are like, oh wow, they can do that, at least for me, this is my experience, they do it really well, and then it kind of like takes the responsibility away from me, but then I'm like, oh. Yeah, like,
well, it's also like challenging if you're doing a good job building a team because you're hiring people smarter than you.
Yeah,
that's, right, like in their areas, like that's true. How you know you're doing a good job is if you have people who are doing things you know that they're better at than you. You don't want, you know, and a lot of people get nervous about hiring people who are smarter than they are because, you know, it's an ego thing. But I think it's also, it's easy to forget to value yourself and to value management, right? And I think it's also, and management is something I don't claim to be good at all. I'm figuring it out as I go. I mean, it's so clumsy. And like every book you read on it, just in general, it's like bosses feel so lonely. Like, they often do, you know, because it's, you're just kind of like, what do I do? Like, am I really adding to this? And then your job, for the most part, I mean, I've found that my job, for the most part, is one, like the real part of your job. You know, there's obviously inspiring people and all the fun parts, but like the real part is having all the tough conversations over and over and over again, day in and day out, tough conversations. And like, whether it's with investors, whether it's with your team, and the thing is, like, the tough conversations are far and away the most important ones, right? Because if you don't have them, things can just go awry really quickly. And so it's draining, it's tiring, right? And that's the part I think people don't see, kind of to loop back, is that inspiring people and getting people excited about that's all like the fun stuff. That's like, the easy, but that's the great part. That's like the euphoria, right? But then there's like the despair. Like, oh my God, I have to fire someone. Or like, oh my God, I have to, you know, tell someone that their work hasn't been good, or that they're lazy, or, you know, that they're not that they're lazy, but that they are currently acting and being lazy, or whatever it is. Or also just like bringing people the hard reality, especially when you're in an exciting and delicate time in the company, right? Where things are, it feels like, I'm going to say like another poster.
I'm ready.
It's like, it's either a rocket ship or a bomb, but either way it's exploding. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like it's either going to go mm-hmm. like up or it's just going to detonate before it gets into the air, which is exciting, but it's terrifying mm-hmm. too. Right. And I've had so many people say this, like, if you don't cut those like difficult things, if you don't have those hard conversations early, mm-hmm. it's cancer to a small team.
We interrupt this episode to bring you a word from our sponsor, Brass Clothing. Brass is all about helping women simplify and streamline their wardrobe so that they can focus on the things that really matter. I'm sorry, did they just answer my prayers? I just purged a ton of clothing from my closet. I really like the idea of starting over, simplifying everything so that I don't have to think too much when I get up in the morning and clothe my body. Everything at Brass is designed to mix and match with ease, which it does. I was just wearing the best tee, is what they call it, in black. It's ribbed. It's so comfortable. Everything is comfortable, by the way. Goes with anything. It could be dressed up, dressed down. Love it so much. By the way, everything is machine washable, so forget about the dry cleaner. And the fabrics are chosen with travel and work in mind. So they're wrinkle resistant and again, super, super comfortable. And what's awesome, just a little tidbit about Brass, they feature their customers as models. So you can see what the clothes look like on multiple body types, which I'm obsessed with. My gripe with so many brands is that I see the clothes, I'm like, but will my thigh fit in that? Do you know what I mean? So we really love that about Brass. Beyond the minimalism trend, they believe that streamlined, functional wardrobe has the ability to make space for women to make bigger changes in the world. And yeah, it's totally made our life so much easier. You know, with us being on tour, we really need pieces that are comfortable, functional, cute, stylish, and that we can just stuff in our bags at the end of the day and not worry about wrinkling. Ooh. I said it. So this is a female-founded business that we are proud to support, and they understand the intense emotions that we are all having as we try to build our wardrobe. They just get it. Jay Adams and Katie Demo really built this brand to serve women, and they are making it responsibly. They visit their factories personally and multiple times a year. I'm just so proud. Love Brass Clothing. You can get 15% off your order with the code ALMOST30 at brassclothing.com. That's B-R-A-S-S clothing.com. Our code is ALMOST30 for 15% off. This episode is also brought to you by Altera Pure. Well, I am obsessed with these sheets, not only because they are so well made, truly as if like I made them myself and I was paying attention to every little detail, but they are committed to sustainability. They are committed to fair trade with their partners, and they are committed to the communities that build the product, which is really important to Krista and I. And this company has no secrets. So their whole process is transparent. You can call them up and be like, hey, how'd you make these? Where are they made? Who made them? And the product is not only certified, but verified. And you can go to their website, alterapure.com, and they'll show you all of the details. This design is deliberate, simple, chic, crisp. I love these sheets. I have everything in white. So I have the pillowcases, the sheets, the duvet cover. And let me tell you something. So the weather has been a little weird in LA. It's gone from being super hot to kind of chilly at night, from being hot at night to hot during the day, just never predictable. But these sheets, and I swear to you, this is true. These sheets not only are comfortable, but they feel warm when it's cold out during the nights where it's a little chilly, and they cool me on the warmer nights. Swear. Don't know how it happens, but it's true. These sheets are so comfortable.
barely want to get out of bed in the morning. I just love snuggling in them. And we know that you will too. And with a clear conscience, knowing that this brand is doing good in the world and really setting the standard for this industry, I hope and pray that other brands follow in their footsteps, other brands in the textile industry. So for our listeners, you can go to Alterra Pure, A-L-T-E-R-R-A, pure.com. And you can use our code ALMOST30, A-L-M-O-S-T-3-0, for 15% off your first order. So that's alterrapure.com. Code is ALMOST30 for 15% off your first order. This episode is also brought to you by Stitch Fix. So this is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, budget, and lifestyle. I just ordered my Stitch Fix. So all I did was go onto the website and I told them my sizes for various pieces of clothing, shoes, etc., what styles I liked. So, you know, I'm very simple, but I'm kind of picky. Does that make sense? So I told them exactly what I liked and what I didn't like. And they ask how much you want to spend on each item. So this is how it works. You go to stitchfix.com/almost30. You're going to tell them all those things, the size, the style, how much you want to spend. And then you'll be paired with your very own personal stylist who will handpick 5 items to send right to your door. So when they get to you, you try them on and you only pay for what you love and then you return the rest. So shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. There's no subscription required, which I like. And you can sign up to receive scheduled shipments, you know, if you want to, or you can get your fix whenever you want. So Stitch Fix's styling fee is only $20, which is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment. So for our listeners, you can get started at stitchfix.com/almost30, and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your box. That's stitchfix.com/almost30 to get started. 25% off when you choose to keep all 5 items. And listen, if your first box, you don't like all 5 items, cool, send it all back. But once you decide to keep all 5 items in any box at any time, you get 25% off. That's a pretty damn good deal. I'm super jazzed to get my new threads. So if you order Stitch Fix, you get a box, tag us, let us know what you're keeping, try it on, share it with us. We love you.
Can we dissect one of those difficult conversations and kind of like maybe things that you found that are really effective and mm-hmm. maybe like ways in which you conduct them that aren't so effective?
Yeah. And like giving hard feedback and stuff.
Yeah, like with your team.
Not to sound like a total, you know, tech person, but I really like the book Radical Candor that just came out.
Never mm-hmm. heard of it.
It's really good. It's by Kim Ernie. Scott. Yeah. And it helps with a lot of those sort of tactical things. For me, I worked at Bridgewater, right? So I worked in a place where we were big on radical transparency, which is not the same, which is like at Bridgewater, every single meeting was taped or video recorded.
What?
Everything. Your one-on-ones, your reviews.
Did this happen like after the recession or what?
No, that's always been their thing. There's, if someone talks about you in a meeting, the tape is sent to you afterwards and you hear exactly what they said. Like, I would be in situations
what is this,
where
a cult?
It gets like a reputation cult. For that. I mean, I personally am like, I prefer to know where I stand, even if it's shitty as a person, but most people don't.
Yeah.
It turns out a lot of people say they do, but they don't.
Agreed.
You know? And so I actually, sometimes the implementation was a little, you know, tricky, but like the principles behind it, I totally aligned with. And it was, I mean, sometimes really tough, right? And so like you'd be sitting in your review where, not your review, but like your manager telling their manager the grade they're going to give you for your review. And you're just sitting in the room and they're like going back and forth about whether you like deserve that or not in front of you. Mm. It was like a real thing. So anyway, all to say, yeah. So I kind of came from like a background that, or a training that was very just like direct mm-hmm. and pointed. I'm building like a fluffy magical rose land. Like that doesn't work. You know what I mean? A lot of the time, like you can't. So I think the thing that I would say about delivering the feedback that's best is that it takes time to have the relationship with your team and the innate trust where they know that you truly have their best interest at heart, not at the cost of the company, right? But that you truly care about them as individuals as well as them as a whole. Mm. And when you have that sort of like flatline trust, giving shitty feedback is a lot easier. Not easier, but
right.
It can be taken a lot better.
How
right?
do you build that trust?
A part of it's giving shitty feedback in a way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's a big part of it, I think, because people need to know where they stand. And then it's also just
like weekly touch bases or like,
oh my God, I wish that I were that organized. I do nowadays. Yeah, I try to do in the moment as much as I can. Nowadays, I have weekly one-on-ones. It wasn't that way when I was early.
Yeah.
I've still been learning things that work and don't work.
Do you and your team have an understanding? Like, say you are just like stressed out to the max. Like, are they like understanding of like, if you give feedback to them in a moment and it's like sharp and like, you know, something that could maybe like wound someone a little bit, but like, have you made them understand, like, listen, like this is kind of how it is. And it might like feel better in some moments and not.
Yeah. Feel so I stole this from Bridgewater. I tell the team, so I have what I call a gem book and Bridgewater, this is kind of where I learned this, but they call mistakes gems because they're like, places that you can learn a lot is in your mistakes, right? And they have a whole principle that's like pain plus reflection equals progress. I'm not the right person I was there for a while and I really, which is true, right? Yeah. But, and so I literally gave everyone on my team a notebook and I was like, this is the book where you write down like for yourself, feedback you get, whatever, all of the shit that you messed up on that you can do better. And then you review it once a week, like look over it and be like, ooh.
And
I write them down for myself all the time. I'm like, ooh, I could have given that feedback better. Like I had this one time, which is just totally horrible, where I just like totally went off on someone on my team without asking them at all. What? It was a silly thing. We were waiting for this license to come through. Mm-hmm. It was really slow. And I just basically, the only guy on my team, whatever. Mm-hmm. I basically called him and I was just like, you're not good at being proactive because we've been waiting for this for too long and you need to, you know, be a dog with a bone and be totally relentless. And like, I did it without asking at all, with no seeking to understand where the process even was because I was just annoyed. Mm. I feel like that part of it is really important. Just being like, okay, first of all, like this is what I'm seeing.
Yep. The seeking to understand is so important.
Yeah. Seeking to understand first. And then, so like yesterday, to dissect an example, yesterday there was an Instagram post. It was funny, I guess, but it was like a cat with blueberries. Did you see it?
No. But
Harold continue. With blueberries?
No, just a random cat, which is a whole other
blueberries
story.
Like on its head?
You're like, this is not on brand.
It's, thank you.
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be funny, I guess, because like we're supposed to have a personality and whatever. But I, you know, I've been kind of working with, and usually they're really good at this, so I don't mean to, you know, obviously, yeah. but there are times, right, where it's also like, this is the other thing that's exhausting about giving feedback. You just have to, you cannot let a single thing slide. And so it's like,
that's really good advice.
Exhausting, right? Because like, so you just constantly feel like you have to be like, no. But if the second that you let one thing go,
especially with these millennials,
it turns into a monster. You know what I mean? And so it's like, oh God, I really don't want to, you know, reprimand right now. I don't feel like it. I'm exhausted. This is going to be really annoying. But the second you don't do it, it takes on a life of its own, right? So like yesterday, so 99% of the content that the team puts out is
fire.
Amazing.
Yeah. Fire flames.
Amazing, right? But like that 1% every once in a while where I'm like, you got lazy. And that's why this caption makes no sense. And that's why this thing is not on brand. And I told them at one point, I was like, I will call you on it. And then you have to do it, right? Then you have to follow through. But like, I will hold it to you and I will say, defend this post. Like, how is it aligned? How is it on brand? How does it tie to our values? How does the audience know that it ties to our values? Like, is it ownable?
Mm.
You know? And it's like, And then every time you see something that you know is going to be difficult to defend, like, you've actually got a column on it. You're going to be like, defend this. Mm. Like, tell me why you did this. I guess saying, walk me through your thinking on this post is better than saying, like, defend this post. It's like immediately.
Ready,
you know,
go.
What I mean? So yesterday that literally happened. I was like, walk me through your thinking. And they were like, well,
she's
we thought.
Well, cats. So.
Well, she was like, you know, we want it to be a personality. We want to be a personality and our personality is funny. And I'm, you know, and then to that, I'm like, okay, well, funny for funny's sake is not on our brand. Right. So funny with the undertone of a value. Yeah, that's our brand. Mm. Like, so like being funny because you know, because of so much self-love, like that's totally. That can be funny and on brand. But like, is it a cat or a blueberry? It's not on brand. you know what I mean?
Yeah, I find that tiring too. It's like, there's so much, it's just communication. Like, your whole job is just fucking opportunities for communication.
That's literally...
It's the whole job. It's like, oh, I should have gotten to more detail on that email. I should have asked that question. I should have said
that
we have a hard out now. I should have, you know, proposed that we do this before. Every second is like an opportunity for communication. It's so fucking tiring.
And you're going to have... I mean, for me, I also am like, well, who am I to say?
100%.
You know, I'm like, well, who am I to be who like, am I to say? This is, you know, this is what it should be
but
or shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But you just got to do it because, you know.
That's your biz.
Do you give, so if you're giving feedback, because you have a team of men and women, but mainly women who are around the same age-ish.
Yeah, early 20s for the most part.
Do you give feedback with all of them present? Not like, not knowingly, but maybe like subconsciously
like
thinking.
Like to shame them?
Dude, but like, you know, public shaming is so real, but not generally a good tactic.
If we're like giving feedback like over text, can we send it to the whole group so that like the other ones are like, oh, good to know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So for in the example of the cat post. Versus blueberries, yeah. I sent that to the whole group.
And hey, I was like, not sure which one of you is responsible.
No, I said like at so and so. In the Slack channel, in the marketing Slack channel, Savage. Like, love talk that. Me through this. Like, why'd you guys do this? Love talk that. Me through it, right? And then other people can also chime in and whatever.
Mm.
That's something, that's feedback that's not personal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's feedback that's like...
You gotta make it not this, personal. That's really, that's a
well,
gift.
You, yeah, but it's like, that's feedback that's about output. That's not about... ethic.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like, to me, that's fine. It's like, why'd you do this? Mm. Or like, tell me like,
it's important in those two when you get the feedback, you know, that's like, oh, I did this because of this is to listen and be like, and if you agree, then be like, okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, like if that they've defended it well enough for you to be like, okay, that makes sense.
And I change my mind all the time when I ask them for that stuff. Like there are definitely times where like, you know, like for example, we had one picture at one point where it was kind of like, to me, it was like a little sexualized, you know, and I'm like, the whole point of what we're doing is to like not sexualize women. And and basically someone on my team was like, no, this is like really celebratory of like, you know,
it's a hard balance.
But then I, you know, and the more I looked at it, I was like, okay, yeah, actually you're right. Like you're right. Just because it's, you know, not
was
wearing
like middle
Amish
fingers
clothing.
Nipples?
Yeah.
Classic.
Something. Yeah. And then if it's about like a person's how they work or how their specific, if it's not an instance, but it's like a pattern or like, hey, you haven't been bringing your A game or whatever. That's not something that I would say in front of the whole team.
Yeah. Put on the Slack channel.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, and you know, Alix has been really just a miserable contributor lately. Like,
what do we think, everyone?
Yeah. Vote. That's what they did at Bridgewater. Literally. It was like, vote. Do you think she's been good lately or bad lately?
Wait, what?
And it would get sent out on an iPad. Yeah. That was a real thing that I went through. But I will, on the other hand, be like, I see so-and-so's late today.
Yeah.
Publicly.
I could literally talk about the entrepreneur stuff with you all day. And I think we need to have a...
You need to write a book.
Yeah, you need to write a book and barely. We just need to have like a full pod on like entrepreneur life because I do feel like it is maybe glamorized and it's really fucking hard.
It's so hard.
So
we
hard.
Didn't even get to that, to the, it literally hit this.
Scratch like, the surface.
Is it nightmares or dreams keeping you up at night? I can't even tell.
I know. That's so
whoa.
True.
Wait, so that true. Is actually the truest thing I've ever heard.
I don't even know. It's like...
Because your dream is kind of like...
Also your nightmare.
As it's growing, it's like a fucking...
So
like,
true.
It is so overwhelming.
I just have no idea.
I'll let you know if I figure it out.
I do want to kind of round this out. Can you talk to our listeners who are entrepreneurs, who are starting in their own businesses, like what you wish you had known mm-hmm. when you first started?
Your worth, I think, is the biggest thing. I think I've even said that to you guys and just in general, especially as women. Everyone, like, especially if you're onto a good idea or you're into, there are so many people who are going to come up to you and try to convince you that, like, they deserve part of what you've built, who, like, aren't necessarily your team, be it investors or, like, people who want to be quote unquote advisors. And nothing against guys in general, but generally speaking, like, guys are a lot better at this than women too. And so they'll, you know, I've had people come to me and basically be like, you should give me advisory shares for, like, that one phone call I had with you for 10 minutes once, you know, like 6 months ago. And I'm like, are you, you know, and it's every time that happens to me personally, I start to question if I'm, you know, the imposter syndrome kicks in and I'm like, oh my God, they're so right. Because I think in part because I would never have, it would never dawn on me to do something like that to another like it would never dawn on me that I deserve something of someone else's unless it were so insanely egregious. Even so, I could never imagine a world where I would go up to someone for helping them for with something and be like, I deserve, you know, like cash money essentially for this. I'm just, that's just not my makeup, but it is the way of a lot of people. And so just to know that, you know, especially when you start to get into the management stuff and you feel like your whole job is conversations and like, what am I actually doing? And blah, 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 to just remember that you're building stuff, you know, and you don't have to, give that to anybody.
Yeah.
You know, they don't, nobody's earned it until you've decided they've earned it. And then you give with a warm and glowing heart. Right. And you're so excited about it. But yeah, I've had that happen a lot. And that's one of the things that I would definitely say is make sure that you know your worth.
I love that.
Yeah.
Working our sweet honeys by Bev.
Thanks. Thanks, ladies.
Yeah. Online, right?
I hope it's helpful. Oh, yeah. Oh, where can our sweet honeys buy Bev?
And where can we find your brand?
I was like, what did she say?
Yeah, but you smiled.
Always. It's like Miss America over here. You can buy drinkbev.com. Mm-hmm. We ship pretty much most places now. 44 states. Well, soon to be 44 states. We're kind of like unraveling state by state. Mm-hmm. And then in Venice, Santa Monica area, and just in LA in general, you can get us at both Simon's Liquor Stores, Lucky, you can buy us at the Standard Hotel, Ace Hotel, stuff like that. We're around poolside and we just brought on a killer head of sales. So we will be everywhere.
It's so good.
It's so good.
The product.
It's delish.
Well, that's the thing. I think with like a rosé, it's a hit or miss. And then you see it in a can, you're like, oh man, okay, I'm probably going to be sacrificing taste because it's in a can and you don't. So
yay, I'm so glad you thought you think so.
Love your whole comp.
Yeah, and then Instagram, obviously follow us on Insta.
Yeah, your Instagram
it's,
is bomb.
It's good content, even if there's the occasional blueberry cat.
If nothing like, else, what? Go meet Harold.
Go meet Alix's
cat. Follow,
yeah, the real Harold _. He's another catch to find on Instagram.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you so much. You are an expander for us. You have been
truly
so gracious with your time and knowledge. And it is truly an honor to know you and be in your network of people. And so happy for you and your new
you
man.
You guys are so sweet. Thanks.
Yes. We love you.
Love you guys. See you
He'll
soon.
Be so excited.
Bye.
Bye.
How fun.
Blessed be the Bev.
Blessed be the Bev. I don't drink, but I enjoy Bev.
Yeah, it's a nice refreshing.
Yeah, light.
Mm-hmm.
Love the can.
Yeah.
Great branding.
Their branding is so amazing.
So amazing. All right, so I want to read a review of the week. Love this podcast, 5 stars. I started listening to this podcast a couple weeks ago, and the day I started listening, they were talking about their tour. I went on their website after listening to a few episodes, and it happened to be that they were in NYC that night. I bought a ticket. The event changed my life, and now I have listened to almost all of the episodes thanks to my New York commute. I love this podcast. I love these girls. Thanks for everything you do and for making a big city seem a bit smaller.
Oh, I just got goosebumps.
I know. Eras Tunes. Thanks, Eris Tunes.
Truth bumps.
Truth goosebumps. That's fate.
Wow. Wow. You went to the event and it changed your life after you listened. What?
That's a perfect segue to our tour. Hey guys, the tour is happening. But for real, the tour is changing people's lives all over the damn world.
It's changing my life.
It is changing my life. I never thought I'd tell someone I'm on fucking tour. Tonight is Portland. See you there.
Portland. Yeah.
And then Spark over the weekend. Next week, Dallas sold out. Austin probably sold out. Check the website. And then we have two more LA events.
One in San Diego.
One in San Diego.
And
on the 24th.
And one on the 24th.
Yep, sorry.
Holy hormones.
Holy hormones. That's going to be on Hormone Health. So that's going to be dope. That will definitely sell out. And then the one in San Diego is very small, very intimate. It's like a full day with y'all. So that
it's
will
gonna
sell out
be
too. I don't know
so
if it, we should
good.
Check if it is sold out.
Yeah, it's probably getting there. All right, everyone. Almost30podcast.com/tour. Find us on Instagram, almost30podcast. And as always, our community is... like said, that they prescribe these episodes to people that need it. So if it resonates with you, it will probably resonate with someone else. So gift that to someone. It's how we grow. We really appreciate it and love you so much.
We love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I was thinking, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.